Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Squadcast, the official podcast of GenreSquad.com. We're your hosts, Robert Sutton.
And Sean Stidham.
And this week, we've got a really special episode for you. First of all, welcome back, Sean.
Thank you, Rob.
It's been a few weeks since we did this. This is actually...
Actually, it is.
Yeah, this is our second go-round at trying to do this episode. There was a problem with our Zoom meeting last time that...
almost recorded a full episode.
Yeah, and then realized we had not been recording for some time.
Yeah,
which sucked. Yeah. But
I believe your exact words were, "Oh God, Sean."
Yeah. Sorry. I don't like wasting your time, Sean.
Well, then we better stop this podcast. Hello. You know what I mean?
Hello. At any rate, this week, we're doing our favorite acting performances by professional wrestlers. You want to tell them
wild, exciting list.
You want to tell them why we're doing that list?
I believe it's because this weekend, John Cena is being introduced into the Fast and the Furious universe.
That's right. He sure is.
And also, when we came up with this idea, Army of the Dead had not yet come out.
That's true.
And we were like, that'll be perfect.
Yeah. And then we got derailed from recording at that point, and then got derailed again, and then tried to record the episode last week, and that didn't work out either.
Sure. So now this is hell. It works out.
We've got wrestlers in movies all summer long. We've got Cena coming up. We already had Batista.
You got Cena again
in Suicide Squad, and then The Rock in the Jungle Cruise.
Jungle Cruise, yeah.
So exciting. It's gonna be an awesome summer for professional wrestlers in movies.
Yeah, or if former professionals.
Yeah, well, mostly former professional wrestlers, but
right.
You never know with these guys. They like to show up at wrestling events all the time.
That's true. There are rumors.
And now they seem to be taking over the Cineplex, like pretty much like they've never done before.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
Cineplex.
Yeah. Well,
the theater.
At any rate, we'll start with our favorite thing of the week. And then we'll go into this list. And then if we have time at the end, we're planning on each doing our top five films of
the year.
Of the year so far.
So far.
Yeah.
I like
Should that. Be a fun episode.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
You want me to kick it off with the favorite thing of the week?
Please do.
Favorite thing of the week.
Well, you know what? I'll limit this since it's been so long to this week, I suppose.
Sure.
Because the favorite, you know, my favorite thing of the last couple of weeks have been Loki.
Absolutely.
Loki's been fantastic so far. Really excited tomorrow. We get a new episode. I like this Wednesday release
thing. Yeah, it's nice, right? Yeah. Especially
Bad Batch.
Yeah, I get Bad Batch on Fridays. So it's a nice change of pace. And it makes it fun to look forward to a show in the middle of the week. Haven't done that in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard rumor that I read somewhere that Disney was planning on doing releases on Wednesday more. So
cool,
which I think is kind of cool. That way everything doesn't get dumped on you on Friday. But
yeah, I think
Loki.
Go ahead.
Loki is really good.
Maybe Loki wants to mix it up. Is that possible? He can change.
Hi.
This variant is insubordinate, stubborn, unpredictable.
I don't care!
He's doing great.
You need the God of Mischief.
But he's really arrogant.
I love it.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like in Marvel's mind, we should have already seen a few things. So I wonder if... Like in you know, when they set this all up, we should have already seen Black Widow. We should have already, I believe, Shang-Chi.
Right.
Should have already been something we saw.
Maybe Eternals.
Probably. But
because they were so all supposed to come out last year, right?
So this is going to be a little weird because I feel like we're going to step back in the movies.
Right.
Because I believe the movies were probably building up to something like this.
Yeah.
With the multiverse and stuff like that. So I digress. It's just really refreshing to have something just completely different in one of these shows.
Yeah.
I know WandaVision was at the start of it, it really was something completely different, but you know, it's neat to finally have like multiverse stuff in the Marvel universe or cinematic universe.
Yeah. Really great. And they're easing you in to where it's not too confusing for
right.
You know, newcomers to this type of storytelling.
Exactly.
And yeah, I love it. Tom Hiddleston, of course, is amazing. And Owen Wilson is.
Yeah, great.
It's great because he's just playing Owen Wilson. Like,
yeah,
he's not any different than he would be in pretty much any other movie he's in. But somehow he fits right in with the MCU.
Yeah. And if this thing doesn't end with them on a jet ski together, I mean, what justice is there in this world?
Amen to that.
My other favorite thing of the week is, and I'm sure, you know, if I don't bring it up, you would.
Mm-hmm.
Rick and Morty.
Were we blades in that one? That's tight.
Rick, Beth, you love me after all.
I love her. She loves you. Those credits don't transfer.
We're touching Rick's stuff.
Summer, he said no.
I said don't touch my...
Where are we ziplining through futuristic metallic tunnels to?
Hunt me, somebody hunt me!
Don't hunt us to completion.
Well, I vote. No voting, no debate. It's not a democracy. It's a Rick public. You're in or you're out.
Obviously, I'm in. I never said I wasn't in.
Me neither.
Oh, speaking of multiverses, right?
Yeah. I just watched it today, actually. It is, God, it's wonderful.
It's so good.
That show's so funny. And smart and mean.
It is so mean.
Yeah. But yeah, and look, I realize, you know, we're the stereotypical people watching Rick and Morty. So
sure.
But it really is that good. Like I don't feel bad about like being like, I love Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Cause
I mean, it's smart. It's the best show on TV.
Yeah.
Like no show has better science fiction concepts.
Yeah.
Like it's hard sci-fi and then it's hilarious on top of that.
The way that they like take an idea that something else had brought into the world, like Narnia.
Yeah.
And then turns that into something horrible is just a chef's kiss.
I mean,
it's great. I love it.
The cold open is all multiverse stuff.
Yeah. Oh, we're blades in that one. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's pretty fucking tight. I love it. More like Rick is dying as he's looking at
that. Yeah.
And it's so funny.
Pretty fucking tight. I'm just a silly old man, Morty.
Oh, so good. But yeah, the thing where like something is so like mundane to Rick and Morty and then it's this huge thing to like other cultures and stuff. It's building on that. There's that snake episode from last season.
Yeah,
which did similar things.
Yeah,
but this really crystallized it. It was really, really great.
Yeah, for sure. I love Summer has become such an integral part of the team.
Yeah,
like she's the badass sort of.
She's on a completely different adventure and hardly in the episode.
And it's so smart the way they do it because they make you forget that she's been sent off to do like the thing that's supposed to save them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's really great.
Well, anyway. Like other shows could turn like something like Mr. Nimbus, who's a Namor parody, right? Like,
right.
And turn him really obnoxious.
His voice, by the way, isn't it? Is that Nathan Fillion?
I don't know, but it God,
had like
so
a Nathan
funny.
Fillion doing like a feminine voice.
Yeah.
I don't know who did it, but it was really great.
Pretty awesome.
getting cold feet.
Yeah, so Rick and Morty was also pretty much my favorite thing of the week also. I did see one new movie. It was Peter Rabbit 2.
Which I'm seeing tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
I will say it's ridiculous.
Really?
It is totally ridiculous.
Did it crack the top five?
No, it did not. Shame. Sorry, I won't be mentioning it later in the episode. My daughter absolutely loved it, though. So it was a nice little...
I am also taking my daughter, so...
Yeah, it was a nice little Father's Day.
Sure.
You know, thing with my kid, so...
Awesome.
Good times, good times.
Anything else?
Not really. I discovered... Well, I didn't discover it. It's the first time I've been listening to it. I listened to Scott Adkins' podcast.
Okay.
He has his own podcast.
Scott Adkins had a podcast.
Yeah, it's called Adkins Undisputed.
Sure.
And it's just him and another co-host, and they're just talk about different action movies. Most of the episodes are about his movies and his experiences on this. But like right now they're counting down the top five action stars of all time.
Whoa. As you know, ranked by Scott Adkins.
Yeah. Wow. They're not ranked, but these are the, so it, I don't know if you want to know the five, but the five are Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
Tom Cruise, Jackie Chan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Sylvester Stallone. Those are the five.
There's some omissions there.
Huh, I know. Well, he also has, there's a whole other episode. The one I'm actually listening to right now is his honorable mentions episode, which is an hour and a half of him talking about everyone else that he loves that didn't get listed, like Statham and Jean-Claude Van Damme and Chow Yun-Fat. So,
right. Interesting.
Yeah. Really fun podcast, though.
I forgot something that you and I both read in the past couple weeks.
Are you referring to Marvel's Secret Wars from 2015?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also awesome. Speaking of like multiverses and big events, that book is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think we both read it because of Loki.
Yeah.
You know.
It's been something I've been kind of interested in a while, and because it was like this huge event.
Yeah.
And I finally just got around to getting it, and then we both read it, and it's really, really terrific.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'd
probably put it up there with Infinite Crisis and that type of like huge comic book event.
Sure.
It's actually one of my favorite Marvel event books, maybe that I've ever read. It's hard to say. You're more of a Marvel person than me.
Yeah, officially. I mean, I don't know if you have you read all of them, like House of M.
Oh yeah, well I've read Secret Invasion and House of M. I've read the original Infinity Gauntlet,
right?
But yeah, both Ultimates books.
It's the best one like in a while.
It's certainly like better than the Age of Ultron book, which was pretty much garbage. So.
Yeah, for sure. I'm also going to be reading Age of Apocalypse because I haven't read that in a long time.
Oh, nice. It feels fun to get back into comics.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
All right,
Rob. Yeah. All right.
Let's speed along.
Absolutely. Are you ready to get into this?
I was born ready for this.
All right, so we're going to present our top 15 acting performances by professional wrestlers.
And now our feature presentation.
Now you may ask yourself, why 15?
It's because I decided on 15. I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
Good enough.
All right. At number 15. We have Stone Cold Steve Austin in The Expendables.
You know, if you didn't have this Kevlar vest, your insides are going to be like fucking mush.
Well, I did, sir.
You know, you're a lucky man.
Well, you're a lucky man.
No, you're a lucky man. He told me to keep you conscious.
Did he? Right. Sure.
You're a real tough guy.
Are you a real tough guy? Look at me, you piece of trash. How many men you got?
Just your mother.
Playing the unforgettable character, Dan Payne.
Dan Payne.
In this movie, he plays a mercenary who's the henchman of Eric Roberts, who Roberts plays James Monroe, the villain of the movie. And mostly he stands there and looks scary, and he's really good at that.
He's always got his arms kind of crossed in some way.
Mm-hmm. Looks really speaks. Angry. He speaks a few lines. I remember him threatening Dolph Lundgren in one scene.
Yeah, well,
the big thing is you're ready to see him fight. I don't know if you remember this. He actually broke Sylvester Stallone's neck at one point.
I mean,
during filming the movie. Sure.
You got to watch out for him. That's according to Sylvester Stallone, though.
Well, sure. Sure. And well, he had to go to the hospital. That's on record.
Isn't it? Did you look it up?
It is. And then he fights Randy Couture at the end of the film, which I think is a pretty big matchup.
Is it?
I think so. Like it's a
good one.
The fun of these films is to watch badasses fight each other.
I mean, that is the Expendables movies.
Yeah. And it's fun to watch like the on-screen badasses like Dolph Lundgren and Jet Li to watch them fight. But like it adds a little extra when you've got
a little prestige.
Yeah, or you know, a little more professional athlete sort of
panache.
Yeah, to it. Which, you know, Randy Couture is a multi-time heavyweight champion in MMA, and then Steve Austin is a professional wrestling
champion.
Yeah, in professional wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, they're both wrestlers.
Sure. I'm sure that each have accolades that are the same.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. But, I mean, I also wouldn't want to mess with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I mean, I wouldn't want to mess with Stone Cold Steve Austin unless I was Randy Couture.
Sure.
Then I would feel pretty confident.
Well, I mean, Randy Couture is probably the biggest badass, like, of the whole cast of the Expendables, I would say.
Right.
Like, the scariest dude. And there's some scary dudes in the... You know, you got a lot of professional football players, and Lundgren, I think, was a karate champion. So yeah.
Terry Crews, who did Old Spice commercials.
Yeah, I think he was a professional football player, right?
I mean, probably. I don't know.
And then Sylvester Stallone was the heavyweight champion of the world, right?
Yeah, and Jason Statham, he was
a transporter,
you know, a low-level crook,
sure,
in London for a while, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Actually, he legit is a champion swimmer, apparently.
Right, that so, is true.
Swimming yeah. background.
You would think he would have a few more swimming scenes in movie.
You'd think.
I'm just saying.
And anyway, the movie is fun. Now, as we had said last time, you think his role in The Condemned might be a little better?
Well, I just think it's an actual role.
Sure.
Like it's an actual part in a movie as opposed to Henchman Number One. You know,
yeah, but like, you know,
it's not a better movie.
It is not.
It's
in fact,
deplorable. Yeah,
it's movie. Pretty reprehensible as far as a movie goes.
But I think if you're going with like,
it might be the worst WWE film, which is saying some.
Ah, man, I don't know. There's some bad ones.
I mean, there are some bad ones.
See No Evil 2.
Yeah. I didn't see See No Evil 2. Oh, man, we did not add See No Evil on this list.
Oh, didn't we?
Well, I guess we can mention it in honorable mentions later.
Hey, See No Evil.
Yeah.
We'll mention that with
May Kane. 19th. Moving on.
You think that still works?
Maybe when he comes back.
For those that don't know, like, there was a whole wrestling angle where they would just say the date of the movie No Evil's release.
Yeah.
And the wrestler Kane would freak out.
The star of the movie See No Evil.
Yes.
All right. Next up, we've got Magic Mike from 2012, directed by Steven Soderbergh, starring Kevin Nash.
What are you guys planning on doing tonight?
Why don't you come down and see the show?
The law says you cannot touch.
But I think I see a lot of lawbreakers. And it goes like this.
That's a lot of ones. No 20s.
You don't want to know what I have to do for 20s.
Magic Mike, rated R, in theaters June 29th.
And yeah. Channing Tatum. And
it's like Tarzan or something like that. I believe.
Yeah.
Should look at him.
Let's see. Kevin Nash plays. Yes, Tarzan is his name.
Damn. Hey. I remember. Magic Mike's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
And the sequel is apparently even better. And I believe he's in that as well. But yeah. I mean, he is just like big dude who stands in the background and is kind of funny.
Right.
In that. As far as a movie, it's one of the better ones on this list, probably. But yeah, as far as like a wrestler's performance, number 14 seems about right.
Yeah. You know, and,
you haven't seen it, right?
I have not seen it. I do really like Kevin Nash, though, like as a comedic performer.
Sure.
And it's nice to see him in something where he's not just, you know, a bodyguard or or an assassin like he is in John Wick or The Punisher.
Right. He plays the Russian in The Punisher, I believe.
Yeah. In which
Thomas Jane's The Punisher.
Yeah. Which is fun to watch. Like, that scene is fun to That's probably the best scene in the movie.
That's saying something.
Sure. But yeah, Magic Mike.
Yeah, Magic Mike.
All right. Number 13, we've got Macho Man Randy Savage in Spider-Man.
Will the guard please lock the cage doors at this time?
Hey, listen, some kind of mistake. I didn't sign up for a cage match. Hey, unlock the thing. Take the chain off.
Hey, Freak Show, you're going nowhere. I got you for 3 minutes. 3 minutes of play time. What are you doing up there?
Staying away from you.
That's a cute outfit. Did your husband give it to you?
Who's he playing? He's playing Bonesaw McGraw.
Yeah, he is.
The role. Why? The role he was born to play. Why is that?
Because Bonesaw is ready.
Yes.
I'm not doing that.
Bonesaw is ready.
There you go.
Yeah, he plays a professional wrestler named Bonesaw who gets beat up by Spider-Man in a cage match.
Yeah, in which it apparently is all real. Like, wrestling is finally shown to be real.
Yeah.
In that movie. Spider-Man. Of course, that also posits then a superhuman Spider-Man exists. So I guess that's not the craziest
thing. You take the good, you take the bad, I guess.
So I'm not sure if this is the most on the nose performance in any of these movies. Because he's just being Macho Man Randy Savage.
Absolutely. But he is pretty memorable.
I mean, he's memorable because, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage was pretty memorable.
Sure.
This or one other that'll be on the list later, I believe, probably takes the cake.
Right. Yeah, I we're still quoting him all the time.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, he's just, what I'm saying is he's not doing a lot of acting.
Oh, sure.
In that movie, he's just being himself.
But
what he was his whole life,
right? But that is pretty entertaining, though. Is what, like, that screen persona is still pretty great.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, you know, it's a pivotal scene in the movie.
Sure. Yeah. Gets Uncle Ben killed. I mean, my God.
Sure. I mean, that's,
you know, with one great thing leads to another. Power comes.
Right. The main event.
Something.
You know, one of the pummeled by the Macho Man.
He wins.
He does. He does. He yeah. takes a pretty good ass kicking first.
I mean, honestly, Spider-Man cheats.
He does climb.
You're not allowed to do some of that stuff.
Well, I think you're allowed to climb up the cage. That's
yeah, hard. But doesn't he like use his webs and shit? I can't Maybe. Remember. God, Maybe. It's been so long since I saw it. Yeah. You think people would have questions about how he's able to? Yeah, whatever.
At any rate.
Number 12
on the nose performance, The Big Show as Captain Insano.
I still can't
believe
in
the water. This
board. Is... I know is this, Jimmy. Next Friday, August 29th at the Baton Rouge Exposition Center, I'm going to open a can of whoop ass on Herculon, and I'm going to drive him back into whatever galaxy he came from, and that's a promise.
Strong words from a strong man, Captain Insano. Now let's take a call. It's our old friend from Jackson's Bayou, Mr. B.
Hello, Jim. Is it possible to speak to Captain Insano?
Shoot, Mr. B.
Captain Insano, I notice sometimes when you are wrestling or opening up a can of whoop ass, as you like to say, you seem to be sweating quite profusely.
Yeah?
I was wondering if perhaps you might need the services of an experienced water boy.
That's pretty cute. How old are you, kid? 11? 12?
I am 31 years old.
This is the second time we've done this. And I'm still kind of like confused why this is here.
I don't know. I just think it's a funny scene. And
yeah,
he's just funny.
You know, he shows no mercy, so
he's kind of like Orson Welles in The Third Man, where they spend the whole movie talking about him, and he's not in the movie very much, but they mention Captain Insano quite a bit in this movie.
Boy, that's something. Yeah, because when I watch Waterboy, I think about The Third Man.
Okay, probably moving on. Would you have preferred that I had put The Big Show as the giant Santa Claus from Jingle All the Way?
Well, I just think, look, Waterboy's fine to be on here.
Uh-huh. It should have probably been number 15 or so.
Yeah, put it at the very bottom.
Well, sure.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, all right.
Let's move on. I don't want to talk about it.
Number 11.
I don't want to talk about it no more.
Number 11, former wrestler Nathan Jones. In Mad Max Fury Road.
Another month. Could have been your viable human.
Was it a male?
Yeah, A1 Alpha Prime. Hey, Rictus. You lost a baby brother. Perfect in every way.
I had a baby brother. I had a little baby brother. It was perfect! Perfect everywhere!
Okay. I would say this is Nathan Jones' best performance since WrestleMania 19.
Sure. When he teamed with The Undertaker?
Yep. He plays a character, Rictus Erectus, who is the son of Immortan
Jones. Do they even say his name in the movie?
I don't know that they do.
I would doubt it.
He actually gets lots of lines in this movie.
Yeah.
More so than any other film he's ever been in.
Well, I mean, look, it's a great movie. I think we
this might time. Be the best yeah, movie.
It's arguably probably the best movie on the list.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's a presence in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, if you need a tall, scary guy.
Yeah,
he's Ethan Jones. Like, he does the same thing as Kevin Nash does, only he can actually move, which Kevin Nash has a hard time doing.
Well, look, then, you know, that's not fair.
I mean,
you seen Strip? It's amazing.
That's what I hear.
But Nathan Jones is, look, he's not going to win any awards, but he does look awesome. And yeah. He looks, and you know, he has one great scene, I think, with the when his brother dies.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. You know, one's a midget. One's
he's usually pretty person. Memorable when he shows up in a movie. I like him in Troy, where he gets killed by Brad Pitt.
At the very beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. And then I like him in The Protector, where he throws Tony Jaa's elephant across the room.
Right. Not a fully grown elephant, though.
No, it's a baby elephant.
It's the baby elephant.
Still pretty impressive, I think.
I mean, sure.
It's an impressive feat of strength.
Sure. Moving along.
Moving on. Number 10, we have got Warrior starting. Well, starring Kurt Angle.
Well, yeah. Well's right.
Appearing in the movie, Kurt Angle. As Koba, the Russian champion.
And here comes the great Russian Koba.
Koba is so intimidating. Yeah. His reputation is larger than life.
I want you to look right at him when he comes in here. Look right at him. All right? Don't take your eyes off him.
Yeah. Kurt Angle has zero lines in this movie. He is just a scary, scary, scary guy. This is a legit great movie, though, I feel like. It's a really good sport.
Yeah. I mean, look, I love Warrior. Both Joel, is it Edgerton?
Yeah, Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy are fucking awesome in this movie.
Yeah. Nick Nolte's really good in this.
Nick Nolte's good. Playing a drunk father, so you know,
a little on the nose, but yeah.
But Kurt Angle's scary as hell. I wouldn't want to fight him.
Not in this movie.
Gold medalist.
Yeah. But yeah, he's terrific, and I mean, the scene is super memorable, and yeah, it's a really, really terrific fight. I kind of wish he was in more movies doing this kind of stuff, though he's a little older now, but. This was like in his prime when this came out in 2011.
Was it his prime, you think?
Well, maybe a little past, but it's still good. I think this was during
It was when it's definitely when you think Kurt Angle should be making these movies. Like he could have done this, you know, a lot probably, but
was this during his Impact era? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
All right. Getting more lines and proving his real acting chops in number 9 is Terry Funk in Roadhouse.
Hell yeah.
Hey, how'd you like to tell us what the fuck's going on? It's gonna help us out or not?
I'll let you know.
You know, I heard you had balls big enough to come in a dump truck, but you don't look like much to me.
Now we're talking. Fine.
Where he plays a scary bouncer.
In a real good movie. Real good one.
Is this the best movie on this list?
It might be. Yeah, well, no, look, obviously not. But
this is one of the funnest movies on this list.
Yeah, I love Roadhouse. Who doesn't love Roadhouse? Monsters, that's who.
Terrible Terry people. Funk. He plays
more. I believe we talked about it last time. It's one of those things where you look at Terry Funk in professional wrestling and you're like, oh, that's just an average looking guy.
Yeah.
And then you see him in a movie with, you know, actors and kind of regular people and you're like, oh my fucking God, he's
gigantic.
Hey, he's huge.
Yeah. I miss when wrestlers look like Terry Funk, to be honest. Like,
sure.
Just burly guys, not necessarily like super cut. You know what I mean?
They look like guys your mom would date.
Yeah.
Not your mom, but I mean in general.
Well, yeah, not my mom necessarily. Your mom. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Great woman.
Sure.
She
wouldn't be caught dead with Terry Funk.
Your aunt would date. Not your mother. Yeah, but, you know, he gets beat up by Patrick Swayze in this, but, I mean, so...
Well, everyone gets beat up by Patrick Swayze in this movie.
Yeah. He's the second best bouncer in the game.
Cooler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's no Wade Garrett.
Wade Garrett. Yeah.
I mean, does not everyone know the plot of Roadhouse?
Sure, of course. Yeah. Cooler. He goes to an unruly town and... God, is it like North Dakota, maybe, or something like that? That.
It's
fucking no. It's Kansas City, isn't it, or near Kansas City?
Something like yeah. It's a lot like a Western. It's kind of a modern Western.
Yeah, sure.
If you will.
Are we explaining the fuck we just said? Doesn't everyone know the plot to Roadhouse?
But man, yeah, I love it. And he's doing like Swayze's never been more badass than he is in this movie.
Yeah.
Doing his weird Tai Chi stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's ripping people's throats out.
I met Patrick Swayze once.
Did you?
Yeah.
I've never heard this story.
Well, I mean, he filmed Next of Kin and Hazard.
Oh.
And it was at a school event. He came and spoke to an assembly.
Are you in Next of Kin?
I'm not.
No. Oh, that's too bad.
No.
How do you feel about Next of Kin?
It's not good, but I respect the hell out of it.
Okay. But where is it on a Roadhouse scale?
Where's what?
Is it much worse than Roadhouse or?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Next of Kin?
I've not.
We should remedy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do the Next of Kin and
Fire Down Below.
Fire Down Below. Double feature, both movies filmed in my hometown,
Hazard, Kentucky.
Yeah,
which movie is better?
Next of Kin.
Oh wow,
Next of Kin is an all-star cast.
I mean, I've seen. Isn't Bill Paxton in that movie?
Bill Paxton, Liam Neeson's in it.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I've seen Fire Down Below.
Yeah,
which also has an all-star cast.
Huh? Mary Steenburgen, I believe, is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's it.
Isn't there a country star? I can't. Oh, Randy there Travis is in it. Randy Travis is in it.
Is it Randy Travis?
He's the guy that is like the fake FBI guy toward the end.
Could be, yeah.
The assassin that tries to kill him.
I want to look this up. I think we all need to get together and watch the Hazard double feature.
I'm sorry. Is this a Stitty Stab that we're pulling?
Oh. It could be.
All right. Is there any other movies filmed in Hazard?
I think that's it, actually.
Oh, man, that's too bad.
I wish there was three.
We just need one more. All right. Let's move on to number 8.
Sure.
And this is a big one.
Oh, fuck. Kris Kristofferson is in Fire Down Below. And Stephen Lang.
See?
It's Marge Helgenberg, not Mary Steenburgen.
Sure.
Levon Helm's in it? Jesus Christ. I can't wait to rewatch this. This is done. We're doing that.
That sounds amazing.
All right, let's move on.
Who is number 8? Oh, it's Mark Colley, by the way, was the country singer.
Yeah. Is he the same one who's in Punisher?
Yes. He plays that assassin that sings the song to him first.
You can see we're coming.
I love that scene, actually.
That scene's crazy.
All right. Moving on. This is a big one. Number 8, Predator.
Yeah.
Featuring Jesse the Body Ventura.
I mean, this should be higher, right?
Yeah, probably.
Son of a bitch is dug in like an Alabama tick.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Oh. Okay. You got time to duck?
I mean...
Look, I gave you the list ahead of time.
I know, but like, I'm not going to overrule you.
I mean, this is a huge one.
Yeah.
On a lot of levels. I remember seeing Jesse in this movie after seeing him wrestle. And I don't know, it just added this extra thing to the movie, right? Like, we talk about that thing with the Expendables where it's fun to see legit badasses on screen. And that's what this movie felt like it gave you first. Like, you got Jesse Ventura, Sonny Landham, who's insane, Carl Weathers, who you'd already seen in Rocky.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And, oh yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And Shane Black.
Well, it's not perfect. Okay.
Right. Bill Duke also.
Yeah. Like, a bunch of, like, stalwart action heroes. And action character actors.
Yeah, and Jesse, this is probably his first movie.
Yeah, I think so. I think. And he fits right. That's the best part.
He's so good.
He fits right in. He's so memorable. He gets his one, you know, which is super offensive today, but his one big speech about chewing tobacco.
It's for slack-jawed pussies.
Yeah, that's not what he says, but.
Right, I know.
This stuff will make you a goddamn sexual tyrannosaur. Oh, I love it. He's terrific. Like, every scene that he's in is amazing. And he's one of the first ones to die, which is pretty disappointing. But he's so memorable, carrying around that freaking Gatling gun and blowing away bad guys at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. He ain't got time to bleed.
He does not. He has, yeah, that's one of the most memorable lines in the movie. At a certain movie, at a certain point in the film, most people stop talking. So it's just.
Sure.
It's just Schwarzenegger and the Predator, like, fighting each other.
Kind of chilling.
Yeah. But yeah, love this movie. I mean, this is one of the all time great action films, and then he's terrific in it. I don't want to go on without mentioning also his role in The Running Man.
Yeah.
Where Schwarzenegger brought him back.
I mean, that could also be.
Yeah. I think he's, I mean, he's more memorable in Predator. And Predator's a better movie. But he plays Captain Freedom in in The Running Man.
Right.
Which is also pretty great.
Yeah.
All right. We moving on?
Yeah, sure.
Right. Number 7, Hulk Hogan as Thunderlips in Rocky III.
Wrestling champion of the world. Quite a sight, all decked out in red.
Why are they carrying him?
He's walking.
I'm coming after you, Balboa.
Let's call it off.
Oh, come on, it's for charity.
You're wearing your anatomy out for charity. Nobody else does this much for charity.
Bob Hope would.
That's true.
You better call Bob Hope.
He's a flash!
All my love slaves out there, Thunderlips is here. In the flesh, baby.
Oh, my God.
The ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball.
A monster. How much would you take even to get in the ring with him?
Would you like to stop in Fort Knox?
Now, this was the other one.
Yes.
Where, you know, they're just, you know, playing himself, basically.
Well, this one's so important, though, because it's like,
yeah.
I mean, the popularity of professional wrestling starts right here. Like, the popularity in the 80s.
Sure.
Pretty much starts right here. Because he was so popular in this, it translated over to, you know, his actual role in professional wrestling. Then he moves to the WWF and becomes a cultural icon, basically, before he ruins all that later on.
Well, with his racism, sure.
Yes, yes. But he is awesome in this movie.
Sure.
As Thunderlips.
Yeah.
AKA Hulk Hogan.
He should have stuck with that. He should have stuck with that.
With just playing Thunderlips?
Yeah.
Oh, it should have just been Thunderlips from then on?
Yeah.
Maybe. He is playing the ultimate male in this movie.
Mm-hmm. And Arnold or Sylvester Stallone's playing
the ultimate meatball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is ridiculous, but he's actually I think he's better than, you know, Macho Man as this Bonesaw.
Or the Big Show as Captain Insano.
Well, yeah. First of all, I think it's a better movie.
It is.
Rocky III is a really good movie.
Well, you think it's better than Spider-Man?
I do.
Wow.
I don't think that's a very bold thing.
No, I wouldn't say it's bold. I just didn't expect it from him. That's all.
No, I love Rocky III. That's my second favorite one.
I know. It's everyone's second favorite one, isn't it? Or it should be.
Well, not necessarily. Especially now.
Well, sure. Well, are we counting Creed movies too?
Yeah. But anyway. He plays the second like villain in the movie, right? Sort of.
Yeah.
Like
he's the warm-up fight.
Yeah.
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 I love the depiction of professional wrestling in this movie.
Yeah, as real.
Yeah. Real, but also a show.
Yeah.
You know, like there's
the idea.
Yeah, like that's pretty cool. And that's the first time, you know, it had ever been portrayed like that on screen. So
yeah. Plus Hulk Hogan's enormous right. And Sylvester Stallone's pretty small, so it really works out.
Yeah. Like Hulk Hogan's not even the biggest professional wrestler. In fact, they would always match him up with bigger guys.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, yeah, you see him against Sylvester Stallone and you're like, holy shit.
Well, he's huge.
Yeah.
What is he, like 6'7"? Something like that?
Yeah, 6'7", 6'8", something like that, and 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So he's ginormous in this movie.
Sex appeal. I don't know.
He's awesome. And this movie is awesome.
It is.
All right.
Number six. Baby. Let's do it.
It's
going to be a banger.
George the Animal Steel in Ed Wood as Tor Johnson.
Let's move immediately to scene 52. Tor, are you in place?
Yeah.
Great. Roll camera.
Rolling. Sleep.
Cue rainstorm. And action, Tor. Okay. You're Lobo. Set. You've worked very hard helping Dr. Voronoff with this experiment. You don't want to see it fail. No, you're not that upset. You want to keep moving. You've got to get through that door. And cut. Perfect. Print it. Let's move on.
Don't you want to do another take, Ed? Looks like Big Baldy had a little trouble getting through the door.
No, it's fine. It's real. You know, in actuality, Lobo would have to struggle with that problem every day.
Who is another professional wrestler who we did not include on this list.
From, I believe, the 40s and 50s, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, so Tor Johnson was a professional wrestler who ended up starring in Ed Wood's movies, most famously this one, Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Fun fact, he's the physical representation of Shrek.
Yes.
In the Shrek movies.
That's
fun fact, kids.
I mentioned this last
time. Somebody actually looked like Shrek.
I mentioned this last time. I had a science teacher in high school who dressed up as Tor Johnson for Halloween one year, and we had no idea who she was.
Yeah, it was a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite part. A female science teacher dressed up like the male professional wrestler Tor Johnson.
Yes.
Who had long since died.
Long since died. And none of us had seen Plan 9 at that point. Because this is before Plan 9 really got its cult following, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, I saw Ed Wood.
Sure.
Which is a terrific movie. And I really like George the Animal Steel in this movie as Tor Johnson because he plays him as this sort of gentle giant and he's very lovable in the movie, very affable. He just seems like a kind of a goofy guy who got wrapped up in this whole Ed Wood business and ends up in one of the worst movies ever made.
Well, which I don't think he gave a shit.
No.
He was in the worst movie ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Did you know that Jim Ross actually has Tor Johnson's death mask.
Oh, no shit.
Home office, yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
What a weird thing to have.
Yeah.
I think we got a lot of Tor Johnson stories.
Yeah.
Even when we're talking about George the Animal Steel.
Who is that? I said last time we should do a wrestling podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
A wrestling
podcast. You know, the thing about George the Animal Steel, I was talking about Terry Funk and how I like this is the wrestling physique of my childhood.
Sure.
George Steele's just a huge guy that looks like he could be a professional wrestler or a truck driver. One of those two things
has to be.
Yeah. Like
couldn't be anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a scary looking dude. Not like cut or, look like he's gone to a muscle competition or anything like that. Just
muscle competition,
whatever. Bodybuilding. He wasn't a bodybuilder for anything. Right. If he built it real bad, but he's
gonna rip your fucking head off.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of bodybuilders, next up we've got John Cena as Steven in Trainwreck.
What's up?
Is that wine in a box?
I've read too.
You've read too.
Is this guy ever going to shut up?
Please watch the movie.
Stop yelling. That's not right. Don't do this to me.
Why is he yelling?
Listen, you always do this to me. You show up to these places. You put me in a situation. I'm a big guy. Everybody wants to fight the big guy.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, Mark Wahlberg, shut your bitch up.
Mark Wahlberg? Me?
Who else looks like Mark Wahlberg? Your girl?
Mark Wahlberg's like 150 pounds. I'm 250 lean. I look like Mark Wahlberg ate Mark Wahlberg.
Your muscles aren't a fucking problem.
Do you
it's your yapping girlfriend.
Just say fuck you.
Yeah. I will fuck you, all right? I will enter you.
You're going to enter me? Did you hear what he said?
What are you talking about right now?
I'm just trying to intimidate.
You're just talking about raping him.
You're not about that life, champ. I can see it.
Oh, I am about that life. No. I will get crazy up in here. You like movies? We'll make a movie.
Oh, God.
We'll make Mama Say Knock You Out, starring my fist in your dick hole.
Oh, shit. The fuck is wrong with this dude?
He wants you. Babe, your threats, I'm telling you, they're super gay.
Too sexual?
Yeah.
This has to be the corniest muscle white dude I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Okay, Coco, beware. You know what? You're being an asshole, all right? You know what I do with assholes? I lick them.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
He wants to fuck you.
Okay.
From 2015's film, starring...
This is number five, right?
Yes. Starring Amy Schumer, directed by Judd Apatow.
Bill Hader.
And Bill Hader, yeah. I absolutely love John Cena in this film as a... Amy Schumer's ex-boyfriend who she's cheated on, who's kind of a closeted homosexual. He is hilarious in this.
Yeah, film. John, this is like his big breakout.
Yeah.
Even though he'd already done The Marine.
Yes.
Was fantastic.
I do personally love The Marine. I kind of have a soft spot for it. It's not a good movie.
Sure.
But it's
it's fun.
It sure is fun.
In a way the Condemned could never be.
Right. I don't know why they didn't keep making movies like The Marine. Because that's the type
they did.
Of thing. Eh, did they
made like five of them?
Well, that's true. They did keep making Marine movies.
Yeah,
none of the other ones were theatrical,
right?
They were trying to stretch out their formula. I remember 12 Rounds and The Condemned. WWE made a lot of bad movies.
It sure did. Sure did.
But not a WWE movie. Trainwreck is terrific.
Yeah.
I think Amy Schumer is really funny in this. But John Cena in particular is a kind of a bright.
Yeah, I think John Cena is the best thing in the movie that's not Bill Hader.
Yeah.
Other guy.
Yeah.
In the movie. It's hilarious. The scene, I know you enjoy the scene of at the movie theater.
So funny. It's so funny. Someone calls him Mark Wahlberg and he looks like I look like Mark Wahlberg ate Mark Wahlberg. Like he's just so sure of himself, but he just keeps saying stupid stuff. It's really, really terrific. LeBron is also in this movie, as I recall, and is also pretty funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cena is really a really no high point. I mean, not acting wise so far, but you know, they've each got movies coming out this summer, so we'll find out, I guess.
Well, that's true. Everybody get up.
Cena's got some other good performances, though. I really like him in the Transformers movie Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen Blockers.
I haven't seen Blockers. I hear he's good in it.
He looks like he's funny in that.
Yeah. I'm expecting he's going to be awesome in the Suicide Squad. He's great in the
trailer. I thought you were going to say Fast 9.
Also Fast 9. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be great in... Who isn't going to be great in Fast 9?
That's true.
I'm so excited to have big blockbusters back
yeah.
in theaters to go see. Absolutely. All right. Moving number four, on. Ron. Number four, we have got The Rock in Fast 5.
Sorry to hear about the loss of your man. Is all this really necessary to apprehend two men?
Let me tell you something about these two men. One's a former federal officer, been in deep cover for 5 years, knows every way you're going to come for me. The other one's a professional criminal, escaped prison twice, spent half his life on the run avoiding folks like you.
Well, if there is anything we can do to help their DSA...
Two things. One, I need a translator.
Claro, we have to get in the public
relations. Elena Nieves.
A patrol officer.
You heard me.
But why? We have many more experienced people.
I like her smile.
What's the second thing?
Stay the fuck out of my way.
Mm-hmm. Where he portrays Luke Hobbs.
Yeah.
Who is on the trail of Vin Diesel's crew. Sorry, the Dominic Toretto's crew.
Probably the sweatiest any human being has ever been.
Yeah, in any movie ever. In He's very sweater. Movie.
In anything.
I think number two is probably Eric Bana in Munich.
Oh,
he's very sweaty at the end of that movie.
Yeah,
but The Rock, wow. The Rock's perspiring all the way through this film,
mm-hmm. he's as a constant sheen.
Yeah, as he's bursting through walls and
mm-hmm. tearing down favelas single-handedly, yes.
breaking the necks of bad guys.
Yeah, yeah. The Rock is something else.
He's a force of nature in this movie. You know, I feel like this movie's kind of a turning point. He had done some really good action films before this. Both of us are big fans of The Rundown.
Yeah.
But
The Rundown's an awesome movie that gets overlooked, I feel like.
I think the problem is that there was kind of a big... There was a big period between The Rundown and this movie. And mm-hmm. everything else in between those two films is...
It's rough times.
Yeah, it's you know, Walking Tall is pretty mediocre.
Yeah.
The Scorpion King is pretty mediocre.
The Get Shorty sequel is not great.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
And then
in that movie.
You know, he kind of, like, treads water in he's doing, like, he does... comedies for a while and tries mm-hmm. that and see if but what like honestly the, go ahead
the football movie where he's a quarterback and has a kid on
is that Gridiron Gang or Game Plan game plan
yeah
Gridiron Gang is where he plays a coach that's yeah. like coaching you know ne'er-do-well children but this was like a suddenly after this he's like a hugely profitable star again.
Well, look, I think he ran a little bit from the you know
action movie
star thing.
Yeah.
Like which I get. I mean, I guess. But yeah, once he embraced it, I think he really nobody's better.
Yeah, no, I agree. God, he's so fun in this movie and in the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, he can be really funny. I love him in The Other Guys at the beginning. I just watched Hobbs and Shaw the other day.
Hobbs and Shaw,
the Fast and Furious spinoff, and I might have underrated that movie a little bit when I saw it the first time because it's a lot of fun.
Sure,
it's stupid, but it's a ton of fun, and he's having fun in it.
Right.
I kind of like
the movie, though. You can see both Statham and The Rock in that movie just being like, I can't be the one that looks really bad.
Sure. Well, like, nobody does in that. Like, they're, yeah, you know,
it's almost like they have some sort of list of like the things that, you know, you're not allowed to do to them.
Yeah. Statham's terrific in that movie too, though.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, The Rock, this is the high point, I think, for me and in his action career. I love Fast Six a lot also.
Mm-hmm.
My kid loves the Jumanji films.
Sure.
Which he's also pretty good in. And then who can forget Moana, right?
Sure.
So yeah.
The Jumanji films are fun.
Oh, I think they're great. I mean, I don't know if they're great. I don't know if I'd say great, but they're fun. Well,
yeah, they're fun.
They're a good time. He has a fun on-screen thing with Kevin Hart that I really like.
Yeah, they've done a lot of movies together.
Right? Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe not a lot, but
they're like Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, right?
Whoa. Well,
only anyway, number three, we've got Dave Bautista as Drax the Destroyer in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
You feel love. Romantic.
No, no, I don't.
For her.
No. Okay.
You must be so embarrassed. Do me.
I have never felt such humor.
So unbelievably uncool.
This really goes for any Guardians of the Galaxy movie, of which there's going to be a third one coming out. And I would also include his scenes in Infinity War, which are also fantastic.
Right. Not the in-game stuff at the very end where he has knives?
Sure. He's terrific. It's very realistic.
Yeah, he's hilarious in these movies.
Yeah, so funny.
He's great.
It's wild to have a movie starring Chris Pratt and your funniest guy is Dave Bautista.
Yeah. Bautista is the most shocking, I feel like, wrestler turned actor, because he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't suspect that, really.
Well, he might be the best dramatic actor on this list. Like,
well, I think, yeah, he's definitely had a couple of opportunities to really stretch that.
He's terrific in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
In that scene. And I think he's really good in Army of the Dead. Like he gets some dramatic scenes in that film, such as it is.
Right. I mean, I agree. Yeah.
But he's good. He's consistent. Like,
he is great in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
At the beginning there.
I'm a little sad he turned down the Suicide Squad to be in Army of the Dead, even though I like Army of the Dead.
What was he going to be in? Was it Cena's role?
I would assume so. I would assume he'd be playing Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Then again, Cena looks absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, in fact, there was even a brand new trailer today, and Cena looks so funny.
I agree. It's awesome.
No.
But Bautista, yeah, I mean,
so great. The why is Gamora line in Infinity War is maybe my favorite line in the whole
movie. Where is Gamora?
Who is Gamora? Why is Gamora?
Everybody stay where you are. Chill the F out.
I'm going to ask you this one time. Where is Gamora?
Yeah, I'll do you one better. Who's Gamora?
I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora?
And then, yeah, I think he's a little funnier in two than he is in one, even. He gets all the interactions with
Mantis.
Yeah, and Chris Pratt's Peter Quill. There's that scene where he's laughing at him.
Yeah.
And he's just, he's playing a guy with no, like, filter in his mind at all. So he just says whatever comes to mind, and it's always pretty hilarious. Even when he's embarrassing someone.
You're beautiful. Just not on the outside.
Oh, God. God, I love that scene at the beginning, too, where he's fighting the giant slug thing and he like jumps into
He's hit the
shot inside where he's just chopping at the thing with the knives. It's so good. All right. Number two, an all-time classic, Andre the Giant as Fezzik. As Fezzik in The Princess Bride.
What is that you're ripping?
It's fabric from the uniform of an army officer of Gilder.
Who is Gilder?
The country across the sea, the sworn enemy of Florin. Go! Once the horse reaches the castle, the fabric will make the prince suspect the Gilderians have abducted his love. When he finds their body dead on the Gilder frontier, his suspicions will be totally confirmed.
You never say anything about killing anyone.
I've hired you to help me start a war. It's a prestigious line of work with a long and glorious tradition.
I just don't think it's right, killing an innocent girl.
Am I going mad? Or did the word think escape your lips? You are not hired for your brains, you hippopotamic landmass.
I agree with Fezzik.
Oh, the sot has spoken. What happens to her is not truly your concern. I will kill her. And remember this. Never forget this. When I found you, you were so slobbering drunk, you couldn't buy brandy. And you, friendless, brainless, helpless, hopeless. Do you want me to send you back to where you were? Unemployed in Greenland?
You know, that's hard to beat. Like, presence alone, like,
yeah,
you can't beat Andre the Giant, right?
It's the ultimate sort of, I don't know. Like, it's the ultimate sort of gentle giant role. Like, they're on it. Like, there really couldn't be a better one than this, I don't think.
Yeah. I could imagine someone not ever seeing wrestling, seeing Andre the Giant in that and being like, well, this much must be, like, you know, fake.
Right.
A person isn't supposed to be that
big. Yeah, that big.
But yeah.
I'm really sad, actually, he didn't get more movies. Because he's so likable in this.
Yeah.
And it's a beloved role in a really, really popular movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, it makes me, you know, of course, you know, you watch the documentaries about him and stuff, and it makes you sad how hard a life he had. Yeah. Because of his gigantism.
Mm-hmm.
But man, what a, like, literally larger than life person.
Yeah. I mean, and, yeah.
And it's literally a very, like I said, yeah, but it's a very soulful performance, and yeah,
I think he works great with like Mandy Patinkin, and
yeah,
God, we had to look it up the last time. The
hold on,
the other guy, the inconceivable guy.
You are talking about Vicini, played by Wallace Shawn.
Yeah, well,
the star of My Dinner with Andre.
Yeah,
Dinner with Andre. That's funny.
Wow. Yeah. God, we're good. Jesus Christ.
There's an alternate version of that movie with
Andre. Dinner with Andre.
Dinner with.
Gonna hold the soup.
Bring me another beer.
I'm under the giant balloon.
I'm under the giant. Oh, good times. All right, number one.
Number one. Should be obvious.
Yes. Rowdy Roddy Piper as Nada in They Live, John Carpenter's classic from 1988. I
have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's never been probably a better wrestling actor than Roddy Piper or Rowdy Piper.
No, I mean, this movie, man, what a showcase for Piper. And he pulls it off. You know, he's the star of the movie. It's a cult classic. You know, it's one of my favorite Carpenter movies.
Yeah, it's like top five, I believe, for me. Yeah. And it's definitely the, maybe in movie history, the best street fight scene.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, ever filmed. Yeah. Probably one of the five best fight scenes ever filmed, regardless. With he and Keith David.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's about an alien invasion, and he's the only person that can see him because he wears these special glasses. And he's just a drifter going from town to town.
Yeah.
And yeah, it says so much about the 80s and about Reaganomics, and yeah, it's just pure John Carpenter. And he's terrific. He's, you know, likable. I don't know.
Funny.
He's funny. Yeah. Like, as far as like John Carpenter leads, is, you know, male leads or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe, you know,
I mean, he's only second time, probably to Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Like we couldn't believe that, you know, this is their only movie together because they seem to really love each other.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, if you have Kurt Russell, you might as well keep using him.
Sure. Sure.
And plus, I believe after They Live, John Carpenter kind of had a rough time.
Yeah, he couldn't get really a lot of money from the studios and stuff. And
yeah,
kept getting screwed over. I know they famously cut the budgets on Escape from LA and then Ghost of Mars, the same thing.
Yeah,
and both those movies,
not like those movies ended up being good anyway.
Sure,
but
they might have had a better chance with bigger budgets or whatever.
Well, you would have at least had some stuff not look as ridiculous as it does in like Escape from LA.
Right. Oh man, Escape from LA has got some of the worst CGI I've ever seen in my life. But it's like early CGI, so you can't you can't fault it too badly, I guess. But
yeah.
Oof. There's some rough stuff.
All right.
But They Live is awesome and has terrific effects for a low budget movie. It's kind of chintzy looking, but on purpose.
Yeah, and Meg Foster's eyes are crazy.
Yeah, nuts. Totally nuts. But yeah, that's our number one.
Awesome. We did it.
All right.
And it still says we're recording, so.
Yes, we are recording. That's nice.
We double did it.
We did it. All right. And now for our top five films of 2021 so far.
Sure. I think we'll just
kind of run through these.
Yeah. Like,
you know. All right. What's your number five, buddy?
My number five is a movie I just watched recently. It's In the Heights.
It's a story of an barrio called Washington Heights. The streets were made of music. A dream isn't some sparkly diamond. There's no shortcuts. Sometimes it's rough.
In the Heights, rated PG-13, in theaters and on HBO Max, June 11th.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, that's a fun, feel good movie. Lin-Manuel Miranda's Broadway musical brought to the screen by is it John Cho?
John Chu, yeah.
Chu, right.
Yeah, the director of G.I. Joe Retaliation.
That's interesting you chose G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Well, Crazy Rich Asians and
yeah, I was gonna say but
I believe the Step Up movies, did you do those, right?
Yeah, I think so. But this is great, you know, song and dance stuff in it. Really great actors. A couple of people I think are going to be stars, like Anthony Ramos.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's really good.
What do you feel about the
little long, but other than that,
is there kind of a controversy around it right now?
Well, look, there's a controversy if you live on Twitter.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not gonna get. I don't have any place to really you don't have an opinion on that, but I mean, from my, you know, place where I come from, you know, my stance, it's kind of a silly argument.
Sure.
That there's not, you know, not more darker skinned Latinos when the movies
wall to wall Latinos
and has black people in it,
right?
As well. So, I mean, I think it, you can't really, the one thing I feel like you can't fault this movie for is representation.
Mm-hmm.
So that just seems silly to me. But then again, look, I'm not the guy that should be commenting
right. anything. Okay. My number five film of the year is Nobody, directed by Ilya Naizoller.
Hey, I have an idea. How about I make that lasagna that you love tonight? You know, from scratch, like I used to. I used to work for some very dangerous people. They came after my family.
They stole my kitty cat bracelet.
And you don't do that.
Give me the kitty cat bracelet!
It's been a hell of a day.
Nobody. In theaters only April 2nd. Rated R.
This is my number three movie of the year.
Awesome. Oh, well, we can wait to talk about it then.
No, go ahead.
We'll
talk about it now.
Big fan of it. It's super fun. I think the best action film of 2021 so far.
Pure action movie, yeah. For yeah. sure.
Yeah.
It's you know, obviously a John Wick vibe.
Right. Bob Odenkirk plays a normal guy who turns out to be a former CIA agent.
He was an auditor.
Yeah. Who goes in and kicks ass, right?
Yeah.
His house gets robbed, which awakens something in him, and he kind of fucks with the wrong guy, and that brings down the Russian mob onto him.
Right.
But boy, there's some really, really terrific fight scenes in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bad guys are pretty fun. There's an awesome shootout at the end of the film. And yes. Christopher Lloyd in this movie is so fun.
There's an awesome, like, Home Alone, like, quality to the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you have a trap set up inside of a warehouse sort of thing. Maybe more Home Alone 2, I guess. Sorry.
Sure. RZA's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden.
Christopher Lloyd's great in the movie.
I love Christopher Lloyd.
This playing his adopted dad or whatever.
Yeah.
Or whatever, I guess.
You got super brutal fights, though.
Mm-hmm.
And some pretty good comedy. So I'd watch another one of these movies. So
would you?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I'm just saying that because obviously.
Yeah, obviously I would, yeah. All right. Your number four, sir?
My number four is Barb and Star. Go to Vista Del Mar.
Oh, that's a really good movie.
Is it Go to Vista Del Mar? I can't remember.
It is Barb and Star Go to Vista. Yes, this is my number three film of the year.
We lost our shimmer. Let's do something different.
Should we try those socks with individual toes?
Ladies!
I just got back from vacation.
Gorgeous men.
Packing their speedos.
What's the name of the place again?
Vista Del Mar.
View of the Swordfish. Hey!
Room number again, please, sir. 611.
611? 611? We're in 124.
Holiday. Rated PG-13.
Wow, that's funny. This is the funniest movie of the year.
It's so good,
in my opinion. And it's a great buddy movie.
Yeah.
And you rarely ever get buddy movies where they're two females,
especially older females, but like middle aged females.
Yeah. So yeah. That's nice and that's funny. Kristen Wiig and the
Annie Mamolo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are fantastic. They're hilarious. Reminds me of like a 90s SNL movie.
Yeah.
In the best ways.
Weirder? Yeah, like
definitely up there in weirdness, sure.
It's an odd movie, but god, it's so funny and likable. Yeah. These two are like, you could see where this could get kind of crass, and it never does. I don't feel like Kristen Wiig actually plays two roles in the movie because she plays
the hero and the villain.
And the villain in the movie, Sharon Gordon Fisherman. so strange.
Funny.
Yeah.
And a splash of iced tea.
It is man, it's this weird mix of, I don't even know, like, there's kind of an Austin Powers vibe to it, but also like, yeah, this other movie about just two best friends that go on vacation, that lose their job and then go on vacation. Yeah. But like, I love,
they got to get their mojo back, baby.
Yeah. I love their on-screen chemistry. That was a terrific.
That you don't, you better fucking recognize that.
So good. Behave. all right, welcome back to our Austin Powers podcast.
God, wouldn't that be awesome? Anyway.
Oh, behave.
What's your number four, Rome?
My number four is Bo Burnham's Inside, which is a Netflix special.
I haven't seen this.
You know, I've learned something over this last year, which is pretty funny. I've learned that real world human-to-human tactile contact will kill you, and that all human interaction, whether it be social, political, spiritual, sexual, or interpersonal, should be contained in the much more safe, much more real interior digital space. That the outside world, the non-digital world, is merely a theatrical space in which one stages and records content for the much more real, much more vital digital space. And is it just me, or do pirates need to take a little bit better care of their fucking maps?
Some content. Daddy made you your favorite open wide. Here comes the content. It's a beautiful day to stay inside.
Still have not seen
it. It's terrific. One of the funniest movies of the year. It's just him inside a room, but he does all these really funny parody songs and.
Sure.
It's actually very poignant. I feel like you know, it's the best film about the quarantine this past year. So yeah. And yeah,
seems like it's really good.
Yeah, the highlights are White Woman's Instagram. There's a song about that. And another one about FaceTiming your mother, which is also very hilarious. So
sure.
Sounds good stuff. Great. Good stuff.
Well, my number three was Nobody, so okay. We'll move on from that.
Sure. Your number and two? My number three was
Barb and Star, right?
Yeah.
My number two is Conjuring. The Devil Made Me Do It.
Ooh, fun movie.
Warning, do not watch alone.
All right! Ed!
The Conjuring.
Yeah, just a little funniest watch
film of the year.
No. About possession and murder and, you know, Satan and witches.
Where
a
do
step
you...
down
right okay I was gonna say yeah
A step down from the James Wan directed movies, but I mean, who didn't see that coming?
Sure.
I guess
where would you put it where would you put it in the Conjuring it? Universe though.
Probably like five,
something like that. You're just putting out a random, because
you get the two Conjuring movies, Annabelle Comes Home, and Annabelle Creation, I believe, are all four
superior
movies.
Yeah.
But this is fun and it's scary. It's definitely weirder. It's the weirdest of all the movies outside of maybe Curse of La Llorona and The Nun,
where there's court scenes in it.
There's court scenes, but there's also genuine murder in this movie.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it's good.
Are you saying the other two weren't true stories?
Well, I mean, they're all true stories, right?
Sure.
They're based on true stories.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to get into this, Rob. Obviously, they're problematic in their own ways, but...
The Warrens, you mean?
With the depiction of the Warren family, but... I don't give a fuck about any of that, honestly.
You know what I love? Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are terrific as the Warrens on screen. They're terrific. Yeah.
So I'm not really worried about two dead people.
Sure.
I'm not going to let it get me down.
Sure.
Whether they were good or bad, because you know what? You don't fucking know either.
They keep making these movies. I will keep going to see them. So.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't go to see this, but you know what I'm saying. I will keep watching.
You saw it.
I did. On HBO Max. So
you sure did.
I had actually heard a rumor or something about wanting to do a Satanic Panic movie next. So
well, that's 80s. I mean 80s. It's arguable that this is the thing that kicked off the Satanic Panic,
right?
So
that might be fun.
It might not.
True,
because like they will 100% go into it as if the Satanic Panic were 100% real.
Well, whatever.
But all go ahead. You're number two, Rome.
My number two is Adam Wingard's Godzilla versus Kong.
They have an ancient rivalry.
Godzilla will come for him.
We need Kong. The world needs him. Maybe our only hope to save our world.
My number one.
Talk about a fun movie. Like this. Yeah. This is exactly the movie I needed when it came out. Just a gigantic blockbuster, something we didn't get all of last year, basically, other than Tenet. But like this movie is wall-to-wall fun. I mean if you put a Hollow Earth storyline in your movie, I'm gonna watch it
and we're in,
probably have a good time. Yeah.
It handled, I think, the, and this is kind of a stupid like little boy argument, but it handled the actual fight between Kong and Godzilla beautifully. I love like the way that like you know, Kong loses, but he doesn't look like a little dick, too.
I mean, is this the best versus movie in any sort of, you know, like definitely better than Batman and Superman, right? And or Freddy versus Jason, Predator versus Alien. Like, this is the one. And yeah, it totally pulls it off. That final fight, man, with where Kong has that big bone axe that actually deflects Godzilla's flames. That shit is terrific to watch.
It's tight.
It's beautiful. Like the visuals are beautiful too. I love all of the colors and different things going on in this movie.
I love Adam Wingard.
Yeah, I just love Adam Wingard. He's a filmmaker on my wavelength, it seems like.
Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful.
I love this movie. Love it.
Well, that's my number one. So, you're number one,
Rob. My number one was the Mitchells versus the Machines.
I canceled your plane ticket to college.
You what?
We are going to drive cross-country as a family.
Mom?
We love his initiative.
Right?
Every kid leaves home. It's not the end of the world.
What the?
It's the robot apocalypse. Were the last people left?
Katie, we're going to get through this together.
I love that.
Who knew you could handle yourself so well in the apocalypse?
I'm a first grade teacher. This is like a normal day for me.
The Mitchells versus the Machines, rated PG.
Speaking of filmmakers on my wavelength, this movie's produced by
Lord and Miller,
and it's about a dysfunctional family that's trying to survive the apocalypse. I think it's super funny. Right. It's an animated film that was actually on Netflix. And it's wonderful. I think it's touching. I think it's action-packed, super funny. I don't have anything bad to say about this. And I just love the style of it. It reminds me a lot of Into the Spider-Verse, which they also produced.
Right.
And its visuals are, I think, pretty much just as good in a lot of ways. And yeah, my my this is a movie that I got to watch with my daughter, and she absolutely was floored by it and loves it. And yeah, I was right there with it. Love it.
Yeah. I'm not sure there's ever been a movie that handles social media and the internet better than this movie, as far as showing the pros and cons.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Yeah.
So
also Maya Rudolph, hilarious in this movie. As the mom, she gets such a great fight scene or sort of thing at the end.
A great father-daughter dynamic too.
Yeah. Abby Jacobson is Katie Mitchell, who's the main character of the film. And she's great. And I love Danny McBride as the dad.
Sure.
Who's kind of an analog sort of, you know, old school type dad trying to survive this digital apocalypse.
That was nice.
Thank you. I just came up with that on the fly.
That was good.
But the movie's hilarious. And yeah, highest recommendation.
All right.
Any honorable mentions, Sean?
I mean, Mitchell's versus Machines. Also, Raya and the Last Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was really good.
What about Zack Snyder's Justice League?
Justice League's a lot of fun. I can't justify putting it
in the top five.
In the top five, but sure. I had a really great time watching it.
I'd like
improved on a bad movie.
It did
in a giant way. So.
Yeah, I want to mention Street Gang, which is a really great documentary about the creation of Sesame Street. Guy Ritchie's Wrath of Man, which is the second best straight up action film of the year. It's sort of like a Heat type thing, but with Guy Ritchie's like flashback sort of story, you know, structure and that sort of, and one of the best Jason Statham movies. I also enjoyed The Conjuring, Devil Made Me Do It, and surprisingly, I really liked Cruella.
Interesting.
And down there at the bottom of the list, The Little Things, which I would directed by John Lee Hancock, which I would suggest everyone skip.
Also down there with it is Those Who Wish Me Dead.
Oh man, super boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that it's as bad as The Little Things. The Little Things is
not.
Boy, what a bad, bad movie. So awful. Yeah. Why is Denzel in that movie? Why is that? All right. Well, Sean.
We did it.
Yeah. Well, we actually recorded this episode, so that's nice.
Digital handshake. Hold on.
Nice.
There you go.
Wonderful. I just got a thumbs up. Terrific. Mm-hmm. Where can they find us on the internet, Sean?
They can find us on our website, genresquad.com.
Mm-hmm. We can find all our old episodes.
Yeah, they can find us on Twitter at Genre Squad. Is it Instagram or Facebook?
We're on Facebook, just Genre Squad, and then
Genre Squad.
And then genresquad@gmail.com if you'd like to email us. You can find all our old episodes on genresquad.com, and then our new recent episodes are all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
and
Podomatic.
They indeed are, Rob.
Awesome. What are we doing next time?
You know the answer to that.
Do I?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I don't think we've really decided yet.
Yeah, we'll let you'll be just as surprised as we are.
It's gonna be great though. Really terrific.
Indeed.
Indeed. All right. Until next time, I am Rob.
I am Sean.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah, all right.